بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Yasin, chapter 36 of the Noble Quran. Allah the Most High says, يقول الله عز وجل الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون. Verse number 80. He, meaning Allah, who produces for you fire out of the green tree, produces for you fire out of the green tree when, behold, you kindle therewith. When, behold, you kindle therewith. So, Allah produces for you, makes for you from the green tree fire. We know that the green tree contains moisture, is moist, and moisture necessitates coolness. And fire is produced from this moist and cool tree, the green ones. The fire that comes out is dry and hot. The fire that comes out is dry and hot. So therefore, this dry and hot, originating from moist and cold source, and there is, it's obvious that there is a great opposition between moisture, coolness, and heat and dryness. For Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the Most Mighty and Most Magnificent, originates and produces this from two extremely opposite matters. The one who is able to do this is able to give life to the crumbled bones. Remember in the first verses, because the disbelievers denied or wanted to cast doubt as to the resurrection, how is it that Allah gives life to the crumbled bones? So the one who is able to produce this fire from these two extremely opposite things, produce this fire from this cool and moist source, because he creates the opposite from the opposite, and this is so vivid and clear as to his ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for him to create from something which is not opposite is obvious. This is the third evidence which Allah now gives in response, that he can give life to the crumbled bones. Then Allah stated in this verse, فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. Then behold, you kindle therewith. The moment you strike with a stick, take a stick, strike it with another stick, then you ignite fire used to kindle with. Doesn't need much work. The benefits of this verse, making clear the ability of Allah, where he originates from the moist and cool source, something which is dry and hot, and producing the thing from its opposite, is evidence for his perfect ability. And from the benefits of this verse is taking what's normally to be hard as evidence for that which is lighter. What does this mean? The opposition between the dry and the moist, and the hot and the cold, is far greater than repeating the creation or bringing back the bones after they turned crumbled and dust. So the one who is able to do this, which is quote unquote harder, is able to give life to the dead. And from the benefits of this verse is the clear favor of Allah upon us to use this green trees as a source for fire. And this is stated in another verse in the Quran, in Surah, in chapter 56, verses 71 and 72. قال الله تعالى أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ النَّارَ الَّتِي تُورُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْشَأْتُمْ شَجَرَتَهَا أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْشِئُونَ. Tell me, the fire which you kindle, is it you who made the tree thereof to grow, or we? Are we the grower? بل أنت يا ربنا. We have made it a reminder for the hellfire in the hereafter, and an article of use for the travelers and all the others in this world. Tell me, the fire which you kindle, is it you who made the tree thereof to grow? We have made it a reminder and an article of use for the traveler. No one denies the benefits of heat energy to the creatures. Rather, its types are numerous, and its forms as well. The fourth benefit affirming things by actualities. Affirming things by actualities. This is evident from the statement where Allah said, فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. The same verse. فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. And then behold, you kindle therewith. In the beginning, he told us, he, Allah, who produces for you fire out of the green thing to benefit from. Then, this thing, he made it confirmed and affirmed by mentioning the actuality. What is the actuality? You kindle therewith. So you sense it there by your physical senses. Then in the next verse, still continuing in responding and refuting those who deny the resurrection, Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم. Isn't it he who created the heavens and the earth able to create the like of them? Certainly, indeed, He is the all-knowing, supreme creator. Allah answered himself, by himself. And the creation of the heavens of the earth are far greater than that of the creation of man in magnitude. As Allah stated in Surah Ghafir, in another verse in the Quran, in chapter 40, verse 57, where he said, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creation of the heavens and the earth is indeed greater than the creation of mankind. Yet most of mankind know not. And this is something witnessed. All humans cannot be equal in terms of the magnificence of creation to one single planet from the planets. So how about all the planets and stars whose number is only known to Allah, and the great heavens which Allah described as in Surah Al-Dhariyat in 51, in chapter 51, verse 57, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. No, 47. وَالسَّمَاءَ With power did we construct the heaven. Verily we are able to extend the vastness of space thereof. So the one who created the heavens and the earth, isn't he then able to create mankind? Certainly, indeed. The one who created all these bodily, celestial bodies, the great ones, and what he installed in them from the great benefits, then by all means he is able to create the like and give life to the dead. And Allah then stated in the same verse, وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the all-knowing, supreme creator. He creates anything he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, intends. And he is qualified with creating. Creating is his attribute. Creating perfectly. And he brings to existence many, many, many creations. We cannot enumerate. No one can enumerate what he brings into existence as well. So if the one who is qualified with the creating and bringing to existence magnitudes of creatures whose numbers only Allah knows, then nothing can prevent him from giving life to the dead and bring life to these crumbled bones. He is all able to do that. So this is another refutation. The benefits of this verse, again, taking what's hard as evidence for the possibility of what is lighter, as we mentioned earlier. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling about the magnificent creation in what he created from the heavens and the earth. And this is when compared to giving life to the crumbled bones is evidence that he is all able to do whatever he subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Look at the heavens and the earth and their greatness and their vastness. No fatigue touched Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he created them. As he mentioned in Surah Qaf 50:38, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And indeed we created the heavens and the earth and all between them in 6 days, and nothing of fatigue touched us. From the benefits of this verse, refuting the philosophers who say that celestial bodies and objects are eternal, who claim eternity for celestial bodies and objects. This is a refutation to them, deducted from the saying of Allah, خلق السماوات والأرض, and in the Greek, created the heavens and the earth, meaning brought them to existence from non-existence. And this is the point of evidence, bringing them to existence from non-existence. And it is known that the what's existing is not eternal. And to them, the ancient, or quote unquote, the ancient to them is the eternal, which does not have a beginning. But the heavens and the earth were non-existing, then they were brought to existence by Allah's will and ability. And as to those who say of the eternity, or that these objects are ancient, they were eternal and will continue to be this nature, then they are really unjust. They have no knowledge of this, because they based their arguments on no intellectual or textual proof. Rather, the textual and intellectual proofs support the possibility of the possibility that these objects are novel, that these objects are novel, that they are occurrences. From the benefits of this verse as well, permissibility, that the person answers himself in matters that are true and affirmed by saying bala, indeed or certainly. You don't answer yes in this case. So the answer to an exclamation which is linked to negation, if you want to affirm, then you say bala, indeed or certainly. You don't say yes, because if you answered with yes, then this will be affirmation to negate the negation. Example, if you say alaysa zaydun biqa'im, isn't it Zayd standing, and if you answer yes, this means you affirmed the negation, meaning that he is not standing. But if you say indeed, certainly, then in this case you affirm his standing. And from the benefits is that creating is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with which he is eternally described. So he is described with creating before he creates, because this attribute is eternal, and the creature is a novelty, an occurrence, coming to existence after non-existence. And from the benefits of this verse is describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with eternal knowledge, because he said Al-Aleem, all knowing. And there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with ilm eternally and forever. He was and continues to be all knowing. His knowledge is not preceded by ignorance, nor followed by forgetfulness, nor touched by forgetfulness. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 52, عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. Musa said, the knowledge thereof is with my Rabb. In a record, my Rabb is neither unaware nor he forgets. Then in the next verse, verse 82, قال الله تعالى, again this verse we discussed is also a refutation of those who deny the resurrection. قال الله تعالى in the next verse 82, إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. Verily his command when he intends a thing is only that he says to it be and it is. Be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to bring tools for construction or soldiers to help him, nor that he needs to any kind of help. So from his perfect ability, he says to the thing be, and it comes to exist without him needing to say it another time, without repeating be, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nazi'at, verse 13, 79, verse 13, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. No repetition. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. But only it will be a single زجرة, shout. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. Next verse 14. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. When behold, they find themselves over the earth alive after their death. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends something to create or to annihilate, then be and it is, either way. Whether this is bringing to existence or annihilating and destroying, also from included is changing a thing from a state to another. All of this is included. Be and it will be. It will be instantaneously, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verse 50. وما أمرنا إلا واحدة كلمح بالبصر. وما أمرنا إلا واحدة كلمح بالبصر. And our commandment is but one as the twinkling of an eye. لمح البصر, twinkling of the eye. Nothing is faster than that. And the command of Allah is but one as the twinkling of the eye. So if this is his command, so if he says to the bones, the crumbled dusty ones, be and be a human, would this be impossible for him? The answer is no. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated earlier in Surah An-Nazi'at, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. But only it will be a single shout when behold they will find themselves over the earth alive after their death. And as Allah stated in this verse, in this surah 36:53, which we discussed before, إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرٌ. But only it will be a single shout. فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرٌ. They will all be brought up before us. The benefits of this verse, making clear the great ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His perfect ability. Nothing is like the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is even close to. He says to the thing be and it is. And thirdly, the second benefit is affirming the irada, the will to Allah. Because Allah said, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا. If Allah wills something or intends something. And the irada of Allah, as the people of knowledge discussed, they divided it into two types. The irada of Allah, two types. شَرْعِيَّة, legal, and كَوْنِيَّة, universal. شَرْعِيَّة, which takes the meaning of love. Legal, which takes the meaning of love. تأتي بمعنى المحبة. شرعية هي التي بمعنى المحبة, which takes the meaning of love. The second, كونية, universal, وهي التي بمعنى المشيئة, and it takes the meaning of المشيئة, will. And the difference between the two concerns the effect. The difference between the two lies in the effect, meaning in al-irada al-kawniyya, the universal will, it's inevitable to take place. It's inevitable to take place. Allah wills it to pass. It's inevitable to take place. So what Allah intends will take place in accordance with His universal will. Now, that which takes a place, and that which Allah wills to pass, may be beloved to Allah, and also may be not beloved to Allah. From this angle of the universal will, أن المرادة فيها قد يكون محبوبا لله وقد يكون غير محبوب لله. What's intended from that which Allah intends to pass and wills to exist may be beloved to Him and may be also not beloved to Him. As to the al-irada al-shar'iyya, the legal one, what's intended may take place and may not take place. And also, what's intended is beloved to Allah. What's intended is only beloved. It's beloved to Allah. It cannot be something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love. This is from the legal perspective. So if someone asks you the question, هل الله يريد الكفر? What will be the answer? What will your answer be? Does Allah intend disbelief, kufr, unbelief? Does Allah intend unbelief? Wills unbelief? Wait, the answer depends. Think of the definition of the two and the differences between the two. الإرادة الشرعية. نعم. So he wills it from what? From which angle? From which type of will? He wills it from the universal will, from the kauni. He made it to exist, right? But he does not love it. So legally, no. Kauni, yes. Let's have the answer therefore. Legally, no. Because it is not beloved to him. Allah does not command it. So legally, no. Kauni, yes. Kauni, he willed it to exist. He willed it to pass. Therefore, it's inevitable that it will pass. But Allah, it's not necessarily that Allah loves it. Is that clear? Is that clear? Two. Three. Only four people? Okay, if someone says to you, if someone, does Allah intend iman? Faith? Does he intend iman? What will your answer be? From the two angles we discussed now. Because the will of Allah is of two types. Yes, from the shari'i, yes, he intends it from the legal perspective and he loves it, yes. However, with respect to the other, your answer should be as this, وَقَدَرًا إِنْ وَقَعَ. And universally, if it exists. Because if it exists, then Allah intended it to pass universally. And if it did not exist, we don't know whether Allah intended it universally or not. Rather we say, إِنَّهُ الْآن لَمْ يَرِدْهُ قَدَرًا. Now he did not intend it universally from the kauni perspective. So if the faith takes place, then in this case what? Allah intended it to occur. You understand? So إذن الجواب, إذن the answer, نعم يريده شرعا. Yes, Allah intends this legally, وَقَدَرًا, and also universally, إِنْ وَقَعَ. إِنْ وَقَعَ. إِنْ وَقَعَ, if it comes to exist. So if it does not come to exist, we say, now Allah did not intend it to occur. From the benefits of this verse is affirming the quote, the saying to Allah. Affirming the saying to Allah. القول لله. إثبات القول. Affirming the saying to Allah. Because Allah said, أن يقول له, that He says to it. We affirm the saying of Allah. Why? Because there is an important benefit coming here. نثبت القول. The saying of Allah. Because this, and from the benefits of this verse, is that the speech of Allah is of letter and sound, and that the speech of Allah is biharfin wa sawt, with a letter and voice, with a letter and voice. Kun, be. Okay, kun, be is a word composed of how many letters? Kun. How many letters? Kun. How many letters? Two. The kaf and the noon. Now, affirming that it is, that Allah's speech is also with a voice, because Allah said, أن يقول له كن فيكون. أن يقول له, that he says to the matter or the thing, be, and it will be. So this address, this is addressed to whom? For anything which Allah intends it to be. And this necessitates that the thing intended hears the saying of Allah. And there is no hearing except that there is voice, exactly, that there is voice. Naam. وَلَا سَمَاعَ إِلَّا بِصَوْتِ وَلَا سَمَاعَ إِلَّا بِصَوْتِ. So therefore, in this verse, there is a refutation of the Ash'arite sect concerning the speech of Allah. The Ash'arites claim that the Kalamullah, إِنَّ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ هُوَ الْمَعْنَى الْقَائِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ. This is what the Ash'arites say, that the speech of Allah is the meaning established within the self, meaning within Allah's self, with Allah. Is the meaning established with Allah, with Allah's self. And that whatever is heard from the voices and letters, this only is, as they say, quote, عِبَارَ عَنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ. Ibara an kalamillah is, ibara is something denoting the speech of Allah, denotes the speech of Allah. And that this is, that what is heard to them is makhluq, to what is heard to them is created. And that's why some of those who are just from them concluded the following. They said, إِنَّهُ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ in reality لَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ. In reality, there is no difference between us and the Mu'tazilites concerning the speech of Allah. Because لِأَنَّنَا مُتَّفِقُونَ, because we are in agreement, عَلَىٰ أَنَّمَا بَيْنَ دَفَّتَيِّ الْمَصْحَفِ, that what is between the two covers of the Mus'haf, the copy of the Quran, فَهُوَ مَخْلُوق, is created. So, if they are in agreement on this, then in this case, قول المعتزلة, the saying of the Mu'tazilite is better than the saying of the Ash'arites. Because the Mu'tazila say, what's between the covers of the Mus'haf is Allah's speech. So both of them say that Allah's speech is created, but the Mu'tazila, they say it is Allah's speech, and the Ash'arites, they say it denotes Allah's speech. So therefore, according to the Ash'arites' opinion, it is something metaphorical, not real, not true. So therefore, this verse we're talking about, there is a refutation of the Ash'arites in their understanding, on their interpretation to the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in reality, they don't affirm the speech of Allah, لأنهم, because إذا جعلوا الكلام, if they consider the speech to mean the meaning established with the self, فكأنما, it is as if جعلوا الكلام هو العلم, it is as if they consider the speech as knowledge. لأن العلم, because knowledge is, هو المعنى القائم بالنفس, is the meaning established with the self. أما الكلام والقول, as to the speech and saying, فهو أمر زائد على ذلك, is a matter which is additional to that. The benefit of this verse also, that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He says to a thing be, then the thing will be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended it to be, in essence and in attribute. In essence, في العين والوصف. In essence and in attribute. So if Allah intends to bring something to existence and says كن, فكان على حسب ما أراده الله, it will be in accordance with what Allah intends. We move to verse 83. قال الله تعالى ف فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. سبحانه وتعالى، فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. سبحان، this is a glorification. It means التنزيه، declaring that Allah and believing that Allah is above all imperfection and above all defects in his attributes, and also above equivalence to the creation, above equivalence to the creation, and also above having his attributes touched by any kind of defect. Like for example العلم، knowledge. علم البشر ناقص ابتداء وانتهاء وشمولا. The knowledge, the human knowledge, is imperfect. Originally, initially, ultimately and comprehensively. Imperfect. Why? لأنه مسبوق بالجهل. Because it is preceded with ignorance. وانتهاء كذلك، also ultimately. لأنه ملحوق بالنسيان، because it is followed by and it's touched by forgetfulness. Also in terms of comprehensibility, it is limited. قال الله تعالى in سورة الإسراء 17:85 وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. This is وما أوتيتم and of knowledge you mankind have been given only a little. However, لكن علم الله عز وجل. However, the knowledge of Allah سبحانه وتعالى كامل من هذه الوجوه كلها. It is perfect from all of these angles. Originally, ultimately, and comprehensively. فهو سبحانه وتعالى عالم بعلمه الذي هو موصوف به أزلا وأبدا. He knows by his knowledge, which is his attribute, eternal attribute. وهو لا ينسى. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى does not forget, as Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام stated in Surah Taha 20, said in Surah Taha 52. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, on referring to what Musa عليه السلام said, علمها عند ربي في كتاب لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. علمها عند ربي. The knowledge thereof is with my Rabb in a record. My Rabb is neither unaware nor he forgets. وعلمه شامل لكل شيء. And the knowledge of Allah سبحانه وتعالى is comprehensive, encompassing everything. قال الله تعالى in سورة آل عمران in chapter 3 verse 5 إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. أستغفر الله. Truly nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens. وقال تعالى في سورة الطلاق 65:12 قال الله عز وجل لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. That you may know that Allah has power over all things and that Allah surrounds, comprehends all things in his knowledge. فالله تعالى منزه عن النقص في صفاته الثابتة له. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is high above any imperfection concerning the affirmed attribute of his. ومنزه عن مماثلة المخلوقين. And listen carefully please to what is said here. ومنزه, and he is high above having equivalence to the created. وقلنا مماثلة equivalence. ولم نقل مشابهة. And we didn't say resemblance or likeness. والفرق واضح. And there is clear difference between المماثلة equivalence which came in the Quran المماثلة which was negated in the Quran in the saying of Allah ليس كمثله شيء. ليس كمثله شيء. There is nothing like equivalent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say ليس كشبهه شيء. There is nothing resembling him. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said فلا تضرب لله الأمثال. And don't give parables and equivalents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of any in any way or any sort. This is from one angle, that this is what's affirmed in the Quran, the term al-mithl, al-mithliyya, mumathala. This is what's affirmed in the Quran, equivalence. The second is that there is nothing existing, two things existing, except that there is some kind of quote resemblance between them. Otherwise we would not have understood the attributes of Allah. We wouldn't have understood anything of the attributes of Allah. For example, al-wujud, existence, للمخلوق والخالق. Existence is for both the creator and the created. Between them there is resemblance from the origin, based on the أصل المعنى, based on the origin of the meaning. Although they differ, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is particular to him, and the existence of the creature is particular to him. Also al-ilm, knowledge, علم الخالق, the knowledge of the creator, and the knowledge of the created. بينهما تشابهم من حيث أصل المعنى لكنهما يختلفان. From the angle of the origin of the meaning, there is resemblance, quote unquote, but they differ. So if you negate المشابهة, if you negate the similarity, the resemblance, etc., absolutely, then in this case, فهذا نفي للوجود في الواقع. Then this is a negation of existence in totality, in reality. Third, المشابهة صار نفيها عند كثير من الناس نفيا للصفات. The negation of resemblance is taken by some to mean negating the attributes, because many from the people of ta'til, many of the people of negation, يصفون من يثبت الصفات بالمشبهة. They attribute the term, or they impute the term of tashbih on those who affirm the sifat, because to them everyone who affirms the sifat with them is considered a mushabbih, someone who likened Allah to his creation. So therefore, فَلِهَذَا كَانَ التَّعْبِيرُ بِنَفْيِ التَّمْثِيلِ أَوْلَى مِنَ التَّعْبِيرِ بِنَفْيِ التَّشْبِيهِ مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ وُجُوهِ. Now we came to know that the negation of تمثيل, of equivalence, is more fitting than expressing the term تشبيه, from three angles which we discussed. So تشبيه is the affirming of a comparison to Allah in what is specific for Him alone, whether with respect to himself or his attributes. And it consists of ascribing deficiencies to Allah, such that he is compared to creation which has deficiencies. And tamthil, it is the affirming of an equal to Allah in what is specific for him alone. Tamthil, it's very important to know the distinctions and the definitions. Tamthil, affirming of an equal to Allah in what is specific for him alone, whether with respect to himself or his attributes. So let me repeat. Tashbih is the affirming of a comparison to Allah in what is specific for him alone, whether with respect to himself or his attributes. It consists of ascribing deficiencies to Allah, such that Allah is compared to creation which has deficiencies. What is tamthil? Tamthil, the affirming of an equal to Allah in what is specific for him alone, whether with respect to himself or his attributes. It also consists of ascribing deficiencies to Allah, such that Allah is equal to creation which has deficiencies. Now the difference between tamthil and tashbih came from the angle, three angles, and we can say now the difference between tamthil and tashbih is that tamthil directs towards equivalence in every aspect, contrary to tashbih. Contrary to tashbih. So, declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing that He is high above any imperfection in itself is what? Is a proof for His ability to give life to these crumbled and dusty bones. Because His inability to do so is a defect which opposes His perfection. So if it is affirmed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above any defect, this necessitates that He is high above not being able to give life to the crumbled bones. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون بيده. So high above every imperfection is Allah, He and exalted above all that they associate with Him, and in whose hand is the dominion of all things. بيده. It doesn't mean that the mulk, it doesn't mean that the dominion is in His hand. Rather, في تصرفه, rather in His running of affairs. In His running of affairs, yet we affirm the attribute. Yet we affirm the attribute. And the attribute in this case is the hand. We affirm the attribute, but the obviously understood meaning is that the dominion is not in His hand, but في تصرفه, under His disposal, with the affirmation of His hand. Just as we mentioned earlier concerning al-bi'ayunina, under our eyes, in Surah Al-Qamar 54:14, تجري بأعيننا, تجري بأعيننا, تجري بأعيننا, floating under our eyes. So we affirm the eyes. But do we understand from this meaning that the ship of Noah was sailing, floating inside Allah's eyes? Hi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above attributing something of this misunderstanding to Him. But rather it means floating under our eyes. تجري بأعيننا. Malakut. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hands is the dominion, Malakut. This is magnification of possession when Allah mentioned the Malakut. Everything in His hands subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning He runs the affairs of everything, because His mulk, His possession, His kingdom, Allah possesses everything, a perfect possession, not preceded by adam, not preceded by non-existence, and not followed by annihilation. However, the mulk of other than Allah, what's possessed by other than Allah, is imperfect in origin. He didn't have this before, but He came to possess it later, even though His possession is subject to elimination. In addition, man's possession is not absolute for him to do whatever he wishes in that, but rather it is a restricted possession. As to the mulk of Allah, the possession of Allah is perfect, and that's here malakut, meaning maliku kulli shay, possessor of everything. So this is now another proof and evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able, all able, to give life to the dead. Why? Because the one who possesses everything, absolutely, is able to change this possession to whatever he wishes. To whatever he wishes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and to him you shall be returned. And this is another proof against those who deny the resurrection, that this is a proof for the ability of Allah to bring life to the dead, because there is no return to Allah except after giving life to these crumbled bones. And if we say there is no ability to Allah, then there will be no return to him. And if there is no return to him, then the existence of this life would be aimless, without a purpose, and would be in play. And this is no doubt is in opposition, it opposes the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mere return to Allah necessitates that he subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses all the ability to give life to the dead. So these are now 10 evidences in these last verses of Surah Yasin for the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give life to these crumbled and dusty bones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able to do everything. And if we have this verse only, Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:17, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, that would be sufficient in affirming the ability to Allah to give life to the dead and to these bones. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and Allah is able to do all things. The benefits of this verse. Declaring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala high above any imperfection and or defect. This is taken from the saying of Allah, فَسُبْحَانَ سُبْحَانَ. Two things are now. Two things now are declared. First, declaring that Allah is high above any defect in his attributes. Second, declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above equivalence in any way to the creatures. And from the benefits is that the malakut, the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dominion, is in the hands of Allah. He runs it as he wishes, and no partner is to Allah in his dominion, as Allah stated in Surah Saba 34, 22 and 23. قال الله تعالى قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. Say to these disbelievers, to these mushriks, call upon those who you assert to be associates with Allah or besides Allah. They possess not even the weight of an atom or a small ant actually, either in the heavens or in the earth, nor have they any share in either, nor there is for him any supporter from among them, intercession with him, prophets not except for him whom he permits. And from the benefits of this verse, and that all creatures will return to Allah, because Allah said وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and you shall all return to him. وَهَذَا الرُّجُوعَ, and this return, يَشْمُلُ الرُّجُوعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, this includes the return to Allah on the day of resurrection. Also this refers وَالرُّجُوعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي أَحْكَامِ الْخَلْقِ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ وَالشَّرْعِيَّةِ. Also it means referring to Allah the Most High in the universal decrees and in the legal decrees, as Allah stated in Surah Ash-Shura 42:10, قال الله تعالى وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله. وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله. And in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is with Allah. And also Allah stated in Surah An-Nisa 4:59, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you believe in Allah and in the last day, that is better and more suitable for final determination. And from the benefits of this verse, بيان حكمة الله سبحانه وتعالى وذلك بكون الرجوع إليه, making clear the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it's inevitable that we are returning to Him. And had it not been for this return to Allah, لَكَانَ خَلْقُ الْخَلْقِ عَبَثًا لَا فَائِدَةَ فِيهِ, then the creation of creation would have been something without a purpose, without a benefit. And had it not been for this return to Allah and the recompense, then creation would have been created to cause mischief on earth and evil. And the end will be nothing. And in the verses, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا الْأَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ, until the saying وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Let us summarize now. In these verses, say the one who originated them first, until Allah said وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, the end of 83, and to Him you shall return, إِثْبَاتُ قُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, affirming the ability of Allah, عَلَى إِحْيَاءِ الْعِظَامِ, to give life to the crumbled bones and dusty bones from 10 angles. From 10 angles, they are, number one, say, the one who originates them, أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ, the first time. This is evidence for using the quote, what's hard as evidence for that which is light, meaning that the lighter would be also by all means more possible. Second, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ, as came in 79, meaning His knowledge concerning His creating and whatever He brings to existence, then this is evidence that He is able to give life to the bones. And third, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الشَّجَرَ مِنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا, the one who produced to you from the green trees fire to kindle. So the one who produced this from the cold, moist produced fire, dry and burning, then he is able to repeat the creation. Because such a production from the trees is more profound concerning the, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. Now, the fourth one, الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, so His ability to create the heavens and the earth is evidence for His ability to give life to these crumbled dusty bones, because the creation of the heavens and the earth is far greater. And the fifth and the sixth is in the saying of Allah, الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ, and الْخَلَّاق is the one who is the one who is described with creating, which is an eternal attribute, and this covers everything which He intends to create. And the fact that He is also eternally knowledgeable, then nothing escapes His knowledge, so that it would be difficult for Him to deal with it. The seventh is لا يستعصى عليه شيء, nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or hard for Allah. بل إذا أمر بشيء في الحال, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to a thing, then instantaneously at once it will be. As Allah said, إنما أمره, His command is, إذا أراد شيئا, if He intends something, أن يقول له, says to it, be and it is. And the eighth is glorifying Allah above all imperfection. And it is known that the incapable of repeating the creation is defective. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above defect and most perfect, then whatever He promised concerning giving life to the crumbled bones and dust, would be true and actual. Ninth, بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and the one in whose hand is the dominion of everything, then he possesses everything, and the possessor of everything is able to give existence to the non-existing and to annihilate the existing. The tenth and final, وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. فَإِنْ هَذَا هُوَ نَتِيجَةُ الْخَلْقِ, if this is the outcome of the creation, that Allah resurrects the creation and return to him to recompense him, then alhamdulillah, this is evidence that he brings to creation whatever he wants to bring, and he recreates as he wishes, and from that he is able to give life to these crumbled bones, because everyone shall return to him. Wa ila huna, and to this point, انتهى تفسير هذه السورة العظيمة. This magnificent surah's tafsir has ended. Wallahu a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this effort from me, and may Allah accept your effort in staying and learning the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah the Most High bestow on our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, bestow his mercy upon him and forgive him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us to meet him in Al-Firdaus al-A'la. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه, وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Anything in this tafsir which was expressed in any way that was misunderstood or incorrect, then this is from me and from Shaytan. And any success, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To him we thanks. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ, وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.